that do enough? No, I gotta do more.
And then this is gonna be the last.
Oh, two pair. Big, two big pair. Two big pair.
Bingo.
Two big, two big bong bingos.
Bing, bing, boom, boop.
I had to turn the sound effects off. I can't listen to that all day.
I turn them up. Okay. I'm gonna turn mine off because I.
All right. Done with this one, I think. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Okay. Let me just cash out here. Boop, boop. Mm. 1 second.
Take all my winnings, spend them on magical planets.
Oh, I got one of my favorites. Okay. 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 Oh, okay. We should do it. We should stop playing this game. We should record.
I already turned mine off. And should I flip the phone over so I can't see
you
this?
You should throw the phone over the couch.
I should throw the phone into a lake somewhere and then I'll go get it later.
Yeah, I want to thank you again for introducing me to this game.
Of course. Yeah. I was considering just buying it for you and sending it to you just because I don't like you very much.
In some countries, that is considered an act of war, my friend.
Well, and then I thought, no, the true act of war would be convincing you to spend your own money on it.
And it was pretty easy, wasn't it?
I think it was, yeah. It was not a hard sell.
Well, let's do a podcast.
Let's.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Is This a Ghost? It is the internet's foremost Balatro fan cast with your two big Balatro boys. I'm Clayton Smith. And with me, as always, Patrick Dean. Patrick, how are you Balatroing these days?
Oh, man. I'm a 4.75 molt in a 4.0 molt world.
That is the nerdiest, dumbest thing that we have ever done on this podcast. But really, when we're not playing Balatro, this is this a ghost? And every week, I, Clayton Smith, tell a real ghost story from real history to my real friend, Patrick Dean, who doesn't take it real seriously. And if this is your first episode, I'm so sorry. This is not how we normally start this.
We don't normally fuck around quite this much.
That usually comes later.
Yeah. But I accidentally, told Clayton about
accidentally.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I accidentally told Clayton about crack cocaine last week on Friday.
And I said, crack cocaine, you say? I think I'll try some. and I did, and I have no regrets.
Well. Yeah, once your fingernails start to fall off and Aaron's long gone, then maybe we'll talk about that.
Then I'll have so much more time to play Balatro. Oh man. So I don't even have to ask how your week has been.
I don't know. Yeah, between Balatro sessions, I'm not sure. It was kind of a blur. It's a bit of a blur. Really was.
Yeah. We went to DC this weekend. Our plans fell through for the weekend and we woke up on Saturday and Aaron is like, what if we just go to DC for the weekend?
Whoa, hang on. Your plans? Yeah. Okay. I've said this a million times. Uh-huh. The best feeling in the world is when you wake up on a weekend morning and you check your phone and whatever your plans were for that day or that whole weekend are canceled. You know, that's like, I don't even know if there is a better feeling than that.
I'm sorry to tell you this, but there is a better feeling because you're wrong. You're close, but you're wrong. Mm. The best feeling is, and maybe this is reserved for people who work in academia, but the best feeling is when that happens on a Tuesday.
Well, yeah. Snow day notwithstanding.
Kids are in daycare and Aaron's still working and I've got nothing to do except play Balatro and take three naps.
I remember, last year Stella had some like all day Sunday tournament that was like way outside of town and we were just going to get our ass kicked the whole time too. We were way above our heads and we woke up on Sunday morning and it was like, oh, all the fields are rained out. We'll see you guys next weekend.
Hell yeah.
I was like, I, what do I do with this? I felt like Scrooge fucking McDuck. Diving into the gold.
I guess I'm not an atheist anymore because this is a gift from God. On Friday, Friday night, we went to a birthday party. So one of our friends here had a small gathering of friends just to celebrate, you know, birthday. So we thought we should bring him something. So we should bring him a bottle of whiskey. Mm-hmm. And so I ran down the hill to the liquor store and I was looking for like the right price point. Like it's not like a, you know, like a big birthday gift, but it's like a thanks for inviting us. Happy birthday.
Sure. $15 bottle of bourbon, right?
Okay, well, all right. No, this is why you're no longer invited to my birthday parties. Yeah. this is also the friend who is the provost of my college, by the way.
Okay.
So $23 bottle. No, so I went with about 45 was my range.
Oh, that's
so fair. I got a nice bottle of the Piggyback.
There you go.
Piggyback, good stuff. Mm-hmm. So I bring it up to the counter and I tell them, I put it down, and the guy starts checking it out, and he goes, "Hey, did you see the gift box of this? Because it's the holiday season, of course. There's the liquor gift box with like shot glasses and things." And I said, "Oh no." He goes, "Well, you might think about it because it's the same price and it comes with a pig spout." And I said, "What?"
I'm gonna need two things: one, an explanation, and two, whatever it is. That's the other thing I need.
And two, that box, yeah, please. He said, "It comes with a pig spout." And I said, "What?" And he said, "Pig spout." And I said,
"Are you new here?"
And I said, "Pig spout?" He goes, "Yeah, pig spout." And I said, "I'll take it." So he went, and it gets the same price. I'd be crazy not to.
Obviously, yeah.
And so he went and grabbed the box. And then the pig spout is this.
Oh, okay. Is it like a cork?
It's like a pouring spout. So you put it in the top of the bottle.
I see. And then the
whiskey comes out of the piggy's little golden mouth.
Oh, okay. Boop, 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 boop. All right. Okay.
Like this. Pig spout.
Okay.
Now you'll notice the birthday party was on Friday. I still have the pig spout because I brought it home and Aaron's like, "What is that?" And I said, "Pig spout." She said, "What is a pig spout?" And I said, "I know." And I showed it to her and she said, "We can't give that to Paul." I said, "No, you're right. We can't give that to Paul." So now we have a pig spout, just no piggyback to put it in.
Well.
But we can rectify that.
Yeah. I mean, that works perfectly in like a bottle of Cabernet.
I think so. I don't see why not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't see a problem with that.
Yeah. Bottle of soda. You know, whatever. Whatever we got laying around the house.
Sprite directly into my mouth from the pig's mouth.
Next week, my dean is coming over. My dean is he's a little more fun, and he's a big whiskey drinker. So I think I'm going to get something, and we'll serve out of this all night, and he'll
like a chicken spout, maybe, you know, some other barnyard animal spout.
Yeah, I'm going to see how many different barnyard animal themed whiskey gift boxes I can find between now and then, and we'll each have one. It'll be great. So welcome pig spout to my home and my heart. I wanted to show you something. It's not gonna be the best venue for this. I'll post this picture on our social media if I remember too. So like I said, we went to DC, and there's a lot, you know, there's a lot of statues and stuff in DC.
It's famous, like, to make statues of people. It's a really historical place, I think.
That's what they say. Maple at once is like, "Well, how come I don't have any statues of me?" So, well, I said, "You haven't done anything important enough to do a statue yet." She goes, "What do I have to do?"
Either something really important or really horrible. One of the two. You get a statue for both.
But I saw a statue that I thought you and our listeners would really, really appreciate. And maybe I'll show you on my phone here. You can see if you can describe to them what you're seeing. And just so in case there's any question, this is George Washington.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay, so it's George Washington shirtless. And I got to imagine pantsless underneath of the blanket.
Yeah, it is.
I don't see why not. With a sword, and he's just calmly resting in a throne. Yeah, I'm
naked
sure.
Naked George has entered the chat.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I remember George Washington famously said, "We must throw off the chains of the British monarchy, and I must be chiseled from marble in a throne nude.
And I must throw off this rough cotton. I will be nude." So, anyway, I saw that and immediately thought of you. So that's where your life has led you to. let's see. Anything else? I have nothing else for me to catch up on. How about you? You got any anecdotes for us this week?
I'm all cut up. My head wound is feeling a little better. It's feeling better, a little better. Yeah. It still hurts to touch my head, but my head itself doesn't hurt when I'm just like, you know, walking around.
How often do you have to touch your head?
Yeah, like I just stopped conditioning and washing my hair and things like that.
So, well, you could do that other half. just that beautiful hair on this half.
Yeah, that half actually kind of hurts too. So maybe there's more to this. I don't know.
All right. Gosh, I guess you can't really wear a hat either, huh?
I can't wear a hat. Just like the last 25 years of my life. Yeah, I'm totally unable to wear a hat.
If you went to a haberdasher and you were like, take all the material you have and build me a hat, you couldn't wear it because it would probably hurt.
Rip the garments from the walls, the tapestries, wrap them about me. This is the only way.
There was a giant flag. The flag on display at the Museum of American History is the one that inspired Francis Scott Key to write the Star Spangled Banner.
Yeah,
that's the one. And it's huge. It's a big, big, big flag. I mean, mm-hmm. It takes up a whole. It's a huge flag. Mm-hmm. That could be a hat for you.
Probably, or at least maybe like the top half of it. The bill would need to be something different.
Something different.
Maybe like an aircraft carrier deck. I don't know. Maybe this we'll have to see what there's room for.
Yeah. We're going to have to do, this is going to be a whole national treasure mm-hmm. style situation here, but I think we can get it for you.
They're going to have to write Star Spangled Banner 2.
All right. Well, we should get into the ghost story here in a second. Before we do, though, I am pleased to announce that we are sponsored this week by Smart Labels.
Oh, thank goodness.
It continues to be the holiday season. That means it continues to be time for Smart Labels. Mm-hmm. Smart Labels, if this is your first time listening, welcome, and brought to change your life for the better forever. Smart Labels is the set of QR-coded stickers that are color-coded and QR-coded, and you take them off, you slap them on your boxes, you slap them on your Christmas decorations when they're in their boxes. And you scan the QR code and you open up the app and it says, oh, what is this? And you say, this is all those ornaments that I try really hard not to break every year, but somehow do still, and get yelled at for every time. And they'll say, well, that's a really long title. Are you sure that that's what you want to call us? And you say, yes. And you hit enter, and then you can do a description and say, here are the ornaments that I have broke that are inside of this. Mm-hmm. And then you can list them all out.
Red, you can take broken, blue, broken, green. Elsa, no one knows yet.
Broken,
but broken.
You can take a picture of all the broken ornaments too, so you know exactly without even opening what terrible things you've done to your family's memories. And then you can lock those up and throw them into the attic for another year. And then when the next year, when your significant other says, hey, where's that box of all that broken stuff? Mm-hmm. Except for that green ornament that is, I think, still whole, right? That one was okay.
There was scotch tape on that one.
For sure. You just open up the app and you say, where is it? And it'll say, it's in the attic. And you go get it. Anyway, this is a long way of saying Smart Labels will help you figure out where you stored all of your stuff. And holidays, I'll tell you, holidays are nothing if not for stuff. That's when those holidays are over. You're going to have a lot of stuff. You're going to have a lot of old stuff. You'll have some broken stuff. You also have some new stuff. Because Santa comes around, he brings new stuff. Mm-hmm. Even when you're like, Santa, these kids haven't been that good. You don't have to bring this much stuff this year. And he's like, oh, fuck off. Here's lots of presents. Good luck.
If you're real smart, if you're a real smart character, you'll be asking Santa for Smart Labels. Because really, that's honestly, Santa should probably just give Smart Labels with all the shit. You know,
that would be very thoughtful.
You know what?
What a contract for Smart Labels to get, huh?
Why are we advertising to all of these people on this podcast? We should be going straight to the source. We should be lobbying Santa Claus.
You talk to David and I'll talk to Santa Claus. Next week, we're going to do a North Pole themed story. We're going to do a story for a target of one, audience of one, and that's old Chris Kringle. So David, don't you worry. We're going to set this up for you in Smart Labels. In the meantime, in case that doesn't pan out, you should go buy your Smart Labels. You can buy, they'd be great stocking stuffers for the parent in your life. Trust me, as a parent, I have several sets of Smart Labels now, and they are absolute lifesavers. So, I don't know. What do you think, Pat? Anything else to make this ad really sing? It's working pretty well.
No, I'm just, I gotta figure out if any of our listeners know how to reach Chris Kringle. We're probably going to need some sort of an in on that, or at least maybe turn him onto the podcast so that we know we'll reach him next week.
I don't think I'm connected with him on LinkedIn.
Okay, maybe check.
So I will. I'll check out. You know, I'll check after the show.
Yeah,
and you can get Smart Labels for the special person in your life. You just go to Amazon and you type in Smart Labels, all one word, and you'll find them. They're beautifully color coded QR codes that are truly a lifesaver. Go treat yourself, treat your friends and family, and you can't just rely on Santa for these things all the time because he's really, I don't know.
Bit of a crutch.
Get, the more it's
bit like, of a crutch.
Bit of a crutch. Oh boy. I should start writing notes down before we do those.
I don't know. Does David like being mentioned in the in the ad reads? I don't know if he does.
No. No.
Do you lie to David and say like, "Oh no, our producer's name is David." We're not talking about you in the ad reads for you. That'd be silly.
No, I do think he likes being drawn in okay. being a character. It's my sense.
It's like breaking the fourth wall of podcast ad reads. It's including the ad buyer.
Did I tell you the one that a few weeks ago where you said, old rubber stamp David will just sign off and everything. He signed his email, rubber stamp David. I don't know. He does listen. Oh. We got to get those Pickney Ben people back. They never listen to anything.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. All right. What am I? Let me learn my buttons here.
Oh. Yep. Dong. Oh. Ding.
Wham.
Ding. Wham.
Okay. I'm ready. You ready?
You got them all memorized? Like a game of memory over there?
I got the two that I need. Mm-hmm. Okay. For sure. All right. Sorry, Jeremy and Jen, you can cut most of the last 5 minutes.
No, it's not fair. It's not fair.
Fine. All right, let it run. You know what? Fine. Let it run. Anyway, we should also probably listen. For new listeners, anyone who's listened in the last, who's joined us in the last several months, the reason that we do a sound effect at the beginning is we get every once in a while someone will, I wouldn't say complain is a strong word.
No, I think most of the complainers have left. Now it's just observers. Yeah.
Yes. And one of the observations that sometimes folks make in a very public space is that we talk too much before we get into the ghost story, which is obviously ridiculous. It's only been about 20 minutes. But a third of that was playing Bellatro, so I don't know what they're talking about. But what we do is we play the sound effect so that if you're letting it run in the background, you're like, I'll tune in when the story starts. This is how you know when the story starts. And you will hear this sound.
Ding. Ding.
Ding.
Dong.
In 1803... President Thomas Jefferson secured for America the Louisiana Purchase.
Only good thing he ever did.
I don't know. Never mind.
I mean,
the quick list of things that I could recall instantly that he had done, none of it really panned out. So I think we're just going to go with that. I learned a lot from my visit to Monticello and nothing to help me here. See, the U.S. bought, this is when the U.S. bought 530 million acres of land from Napoleon Bonaparte. Now, France actually only controlled a small fraction of the land that the U.S. purchased. So,
but they promised not to fight us on the rest of it.
Happened, yeah. Obviously, most of that was inhabited by the Native Americans. So what we really did was we paid France for the right to go steal land from Indians without the French being like, hey, stop.
Yeah.
which, really panned out.
Half of them. Half of those groups.
Sometimes this meant treaties with the local tribes in order to steal their land.
Right.
That sometimes worked out really well.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have any notes to say otherwise. So
Wikipedia stops right there and goes on in the next paragraph, so I don't really know. I assume everything was fine.
Yeah. Here we go. Usually, though, it did mean killing them all.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So that's kind of how that tended to go down. They say, mo massacres, mo problems. And so we had this big new Western Front that needed a whole lot of securing. becomes a pretty big concern. You got all this new land. It's almost doubled the size of the U.S. at the time. And now we've got a lot of property that we do not want those gross foreigners stepping on our land. And so the U.S. sets up a series of forts along the new western border. And one of those forts is Fort Gibson.
Ooh, where's old Fort Gibson located today?
Fort Gibson today and then in Oklahoma.
Hmm.
Although obviously then it was the Oklahoma Territory. Of course, now it's Oklahoma, the state that we all wish would just disappear. Oklahoma, once again, by the way, the only state in our great nation where every single county voted for Donald Trump. Third time running, I believe. How fun. So that's where we are today. Gibson was built at the confluence of the Grand River and the Arkansas River. Command of the fort fell to a man named Colonel Matthew Arbuckle. No relation to John, I don't believe.
Okay, that's just curious. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I've been wrong before, though. Yeah.
I bet he also hates Mondays.
His soldiers hated Mondays and loved lasagna. One of the jobs of the soldiers at Fort Gibson was to settle disputes between the indigenous Osage Nation and the new influx of Cherokee settlers who were being pushed out of the east.
Okay. That seems like it's a hard thing to try and arbitrate. I don't really know what the process is.
You're not going
to
apply for this job?
No, this is not something like the sort of job I'm interested in. Yeah.
I kind of like this. Obviously, we're pushing the Cherokee out. Mm. The Osage are getting pretty upset that their land is being now taken by a different tribe.
Right. Two tribes.
Yeah. 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 Well,
there's the tribe with all the guns. That's,
you can say that, except I would say, devil's advocate. It's like when you're going through a divorce and you're like, we don't want this to get messy.
Right.
Let's do arbitration. Let's try that.
Yeah.
And so you call in the normal white guy in a sweater and he just sits there and he just kind of helps you through the process. And that's what we're doing. That's the role we're playing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
We're the Judge Reinhold.
Does that guy also not speak the language of either party that he's arbitrating for?
No, I cannot imagine.
Why would he? Does.
Absolutely not. But he does have a gun that a pistol that he kind of points menacingly every once in a while, just so you get the point. Yeah, and I will say the Wikipedia article on Fort Gibson makes it sound like they didn't do a whole lot of active resettling or protecting of this area, which I cannot imagine is remotely true. It's mostly just diplomacy if you check Wikipedia. Anyway, so yeah, they're settling disputes among the Native Americans there. Now, the need to do this was somewhat exacerbated in 1830 when Andrew Jackson came along and signed the Indian Removal Act.
Well,
do you want to what?
I mean, if your whole job is arbitrating disputes between two Native American tribes, and now the law says neither of those tribes can be near your fort, your job just got really easy. I mean, you're probably a little worried that the Elon Musk is going to come and like get rid of your job because it's like, boy,
you are now the pork.
I don't have a lot to do now. Do I follow my work, or do I stay here?
I think you make yourself look real busy by getting some rifles and running into Indian territory.
A lot of disputes out there. Whew, like almost a new one every day when I get there, as soon as I get there.
So, of course, the Indian Removal Act is when Andrew Jackson very, very forcefully forced the Cherokee and all Native Americans out of what was considered, I guess, kind of more civilized in the European sense, America, and led to the Trail of Tears. And so that trail comes right through Oklahoma. They have to like cross over, like past the fort to get out there. So they could be like welcome baskets.
Okay.
And stuff like they're like hotel check-in at this point, I think. Like,
okay. Yeah.
You're gonna like this. Here's your meal. Here's your spot ticket.
Sure.
We're going to comp one drink at the trough for you, but, that's just the first one's on us, but the rest are on you.
Yeah. That's now, like, I don't recall, when I was a kid playing computer games, like the Oregon Trail, I don't remember them having a Trail of Tears game that you could play. I don't think that's,
yeah,
it didn't seem quite as, adventurous.
Yeah. Are you saying we should create one?
I'm just saying.
Are you saying there's a hole in the market?
No, I'm saying, you know, in the Oregon Trail game, you know, you stop at all the different forts, you know, you get resupplied.
You get diphtheria.
Yeah, you get diphtheria. Maybe you cure your diphtheria, or you lose a kid, you gain a kid, you lose a buffalo.
Drown in a
buffalo,
river.
Whatever it is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't see the folks on the Trail of Tears being treated to the same little, like, you know, rest stops along the way. It seems like it's a bad deal for them.
You can rest anywhere you want.
You'll just be there forever, wherever it is you stop.
You lie down and die as much as you want to. Mm-hmm. That's fine. It would be a boring video game, though. That's true.
It would be so sad. Let's not make a t-shirt of that.
let's super not. All right, so things are actually pretty busy at the fort because of all this resettlement happening. So some famous folks who have been stationed at Fort Gibson include Robert E. Lee.
Oh.
Zachary Taylor, who I think might have been a president.
He is the one that I always forget on the list, so yeah.
Jefferson Davis was one.
Man, just a...
It's a real... It's a veritable who's who.
It's a murderer's row here.
And Nathan Boone, Daniel Boone's son.
Oh, okay.
I don't know about him. He's probably fine.
Riding the coonskin cap.
I was
trying to figure out how to turn coonskin into coattails, but I couldn't figure it out. Whatever. It's fine. We'll cut all that.
Goddamn concussion. It'd be so easy to, the coonskin cap. Didn't he always like had the tail?
Yeah, but
the one tail was right there.
I know, but it's the
Ride the hat tail. It's hard to say. Ride the hat tail.
But then that sounded like rat tail. I got myself all confused.
It's not, though. It's not. Do you want to say it? You say it now, and Jeremy will just cut it in.
No, because I don't remember what the joke was.
All right. Well, let's move on to our fun fact.
Wham!
The fort surgeon began taking meteorological observations there in 1824, providing the earliest known weather records in Oklahoma.
Oh, okay. Not a lot going on the surgery front, I guess.
this is a peacekeeping mission.
One of two things goes on. This guy's either the best surgeon in Oklahoma to where, like, no repeat business, or he is the worst surgeon in Oklahoma and nobody has any interest. you know what? Tonsils get better by themselves. That's what I heard. You don't need to worry about this. Go back to the weather balloons. It's totally fine.
Or we should take the tonsils out, definitely. Now, I don't know how to do that. I will cut off the head. Problem solved. No more tonsils. You're good. They will no longer infect the neck. The other option here, I have seen Dances with Wolves. So I know that being a doctor at this point in time, at this location, actually, is just hacking off limbs.
It's pretty sexy. I'll give you that much.
Do you have a saw? Because I got a foot.
I'll tell you what. I recall in that movie, he was doing quite a bit of arbitrating, if you know what I mean.
Arbitrating for just hours on end.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Just, oh, man. Came out of that tent just sweaty from all that arbitration.
No more conflict there.
Anyway, so everything's going pretty well at Fort Gibson. But in the 1850s, the Cherokee, who are now, I guess, kind of the majority of Indians there, because the Osage have been pushed out by the Cherokee, because that's part of the mediating process. You know?
Yeah,
just leave. Hey, you got to go. We were here first. Yeah, I know. That's why you got to go. That's our whole thing. You got to go. So the Cherokee are now there. They start complaining about all the liquor and the brothels at the fort.
Oh, okay.
And they beg the soldiers to please, God, stop selling alcohol to our people.
Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah. This sounds plausible. Yeah.
Yeah. And the soldiers are like, no, we like it. Yeah. They pay us a lot. They trade a lot and we're having a good time. So they politely decline. So then the Cherokee Nation goes to Congress and they urge the U.S. Congress to close Fort Gibson. And Congress does. They shut it down.
Really?
At the behest of the Cherokee Nation. Yes.
Wow. Is that the one thing? That's like the one thing.
Okay, you get one. Are you sure this is it?
Are you sure you want to use this?
Okay. Yeah. You're never getting another one. I just want to say never ever.
Like, no, we actually kind of like this. We like this Osage territory, actually. So we're going with where we are. We like this.
Yeah.
The Osage are gone. That's nice. So
so I think we've got it all, really. Mm-hmm. All right. This monkey only has one paw. Are you sure? This monkey paw's got one finger.
I got one more trap to get rid of here. And it's you all. So...
So they do. So they shut it down. And on May 7th, 1857, the soldiers stationed at the fort are ordered to abandon it.
Oh, wow. Just like run. So
they run. They're out. They're okay. We gave all the Cherokees 7 guns each. Yeah. We thought it'd be kind of a fun game. 3, 2, 1, scatter. So they do. They abandon it. Now the Cherokee Nation receives the deed to the property.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So that's really kind of funny because where does this deed originate from? Probably.
Well, and like, is this on the back of a Denny's napkin? Yeah. Like, okay. Yeah. Here's your deed.
Yeah. Here's a piece of paper that says the French probably won't come and kill you, but I can't make a lot of promises about that either.
Here's a piece of paper that says, yeah, we did kill off all the Osage mm-hmm. and they're probably not coming back for it. Yeah. If they do, just show them this. Mm-hmm. So they receive the deed, and they then establish a village there called Kitowa on the site. So that's great. So they're so
good for them.
End of that's. Finally. I think that's the end of the story.
Everything's coming up Cherokee.
Everything's coming up Cherokee. Now, during the Civil War, Union troops stumbled across the fort, mm-hmm. and they're like, "Hey, this is a pretty nice fort.
This looks familiar to me."
And the Cherokee folks were there like, hey, this is ours. We have this deed. And the Union Army is like, yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Now we do like it here. do you think we keep it? And so they move in and the army is like, well, I can't even remember why we ever gave this thing up.
Mm-hmm. Didn't we have like a whole, like a, isn't this one of the things in the Bill of Rights? Isn't it like one of the first ones? Like the second, like the third one or something like that?
Like that we get stuff?
No, like the soldiers can't just be like, yeah, oh. I live here now. This is my place now. Wasn't it like one of the big ones?
That probably they hadn't gotten it out there yet.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah.
Actually, probably the actual explanation is that this is, I don't think this is technically America. This is a territory, but I don't know if it's governed the same way as sure. the Commonwealth.
Yeah. They're probably like, oh, you have a deed. That's what they told them. They gave you a deed for this. Okie dokie.
So they just, the Union Army just stayed. Mm-hmm. They just stayed there. Civil War ends. The army's like, I don't know. It's kind of good here, though.
It's a bit of an active Yankee aggression, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, don't worry, Patrick. As we always say on this podcast, the South will rise again. Well, this fort actually, during the Civil War, there were no battles fought here. Mm-hmm. It was not strategically important to have a fort in the western edge of Oklahoma, if you can believe it. But there was a naval battle nearby.
Okay.
Some Confederate troops that were sort of nearby heard that there was a supply ship going to supply the Union Army at the fort. So they tried to capture the boat. Mm-hmm. And I guess there was a skirmish there. Mm-hmm. And that's the action that this saw.
Okay, yeah. And then the Confederate John boat was sunk, and you know, dozens of Darryls lost their lives.
So many Darryls. So anyway, so now it's basically recommissioned by the U.S. Army, and there's no, I don't think there's any more mention of Cherokee people in this story.
Boy, that's a tough pill.
Let me control F real quick. Uh-huh. Nope.
Oh. Okay.
So now it's back to the U.S. Army. Now, one very cold morning in 1870, on January 7th, to be exact, a soldier is out walking sentry duty, and he comes across a dead body on the ground in the fort's graveyard.
Mm-hmm.
This is the frozen body of a soldier who had recently joined the fort, a young man named Private Thomas. His first name is not Private.
Oh, okay. Man, it'd be hard to go through life like that.
That would be so bad. It'd be terrible. The body is taken to the infirmary. I guess in case he could get better.
We'll see if we have a cure for being frozen to death in there. I don't know. We got the surgeon in there, but he doesn't have a whole lot of practice.
Oh man, but he knows a lot about the stars. Mm-hmm. So if there's something up there that can help, he's going to know it.
If he starts talking about tonsils, though, you want to leave.
So the doctor then declares this person dead, mm-hmm. and then attempts to determine the cause of death, And in the process of trying to figure out what killed Private Thomas, he's actually, the doctor is surprised to learn that Private Thomas is actually a woman.
Oh, like Mulan.
Yes. She's the Mulan of America, I think is what we call that. And she's being installed in Disneyland, I think, is getting a little statue of her, and It's a Small World. Very excited about that. Vivia Thomas was born probably around 1850, maybe a little earlier. Mm-hmm. We don't know a whole lot about her early life. Records don't catch up till a little later. And then a lot of this is kind of pieced together after the fact, after her death. But we do know that she was born to a wealthy family in Boston. Boston, Mass. Go Celtics. She's a socialite. She's always being just so very droll at society events and whatnot. When the Civil War ended, she attended. There were a bunch of parties about the Civil War ending. Hmm. And at one of them, one celebratory at one celebratory party, she meets and falls in love with an army officer named William.
Hmm. Just
William.
Just William.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Roseanne. I mean, he had a last name.
Oh, that okay.
That, and it's probably out there. So I should have said at the beginning, this was another one where I did say we went to DC this weekend, which meant I had no time to do anything.
That's fair.
So I did take these notes this morning. Rather quickly. There are more sources than the ones I used, and some of them probably had his full name. Anyway, his name's William. Stop asking questions about it. And William courts Vivia for several magical months. Just wonderful. They're having, it's a romantic time to be alive. And finally, at long last, William proposes marriage. They announce their engagement, start planning that wedding. Vivia is so happy. Mm-hmm. She's just so happy.
Nothing could ever ruin this. Ever.
No. She's
what year flying is this? High. What year is this, by the way?
Oh, this is 18... Gosh, what? This is probably 1869.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. She's like, the year is hilarious.
And I turned 18, and...
and she's... Stupid.
I'm keeping my half of the bargain.
But just a few weeks before the wedding day, William disappears.
Oh no. Did he not know what 69 meant?
Someone should have really told
him. Oh my gosh.
It's one of the good ones, William.
You all just kept saying nice all the fucking time. Why didn't you tell me what was going on?
Oh man. So William leaves a note. Wherein he apologizes, but he just has to go out west and seek adventure. I hear out west there are women who, when, if you lie down thusly, they will lie down thusly on top of your body. I don't know what it's called, but I must find it.
A real gift of the Magi there, isn't it?
So... Vivia is devastated. She was just so looking forward
to
trying that one out. her heart is broken, and you know, like most women at the time, certainly when they are their heart is broken by a man, Vivia vows to exact revenge.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Good for her. Life is too short to live with that.
I think so, you know? Too, man. Yeah. This becomes an inspirational story for all of us. Vivia learns that William has been, he's rejoined the army. He's still an officer, so we can just kind of go back, I guess, whatever he wants.
Sure.
He was stationed, I guess, locally, but he has decided to go out west, and he has been stationed in the Indian Territory at a little fort called Fort Gibson.
Oh.
So Vivia says, I'm fucking going to Fort Gibson. Mm-hmm. I am going to kill him so hard. So she begins the long and arduous trek out west. Now, I think it's either 1868 or 1869 at this point. Mm. Traveling like anywhere alone as a woman, it's not done.
Certainly.
You can't go down the street without someone being like, excuse me, where's your man? So she's going to have a really hard time going all the way across the country. And she finds it incredibly difficult. No one will take her seriously. No one will help her. Like at every turn, everyone's like, I don't think a little lady like you should be out here. Mm-hmm. So she gets really frustrated. She then has an idea. She's like, well, the men don't get pestered like this.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I should become a man.
Aha.
So she chops off all her hair, gives herself a real short haircut, mm-hmm. starts dressing in men's clothes. And she's like, well, let's see if this works. Mm-hmm. and she is pleasantly surprised to learn that it does work.
You just got to get the walk. The walk's the only hard part.
Yeah. Do you want to try to demonstrate the man walk?
A man walk? No, how I walk about. I couldn't do a girl walk, though. It doesn't work the other way.
Yeah, but how do you walk?
Like with my hands swinging like an orangutan?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I want to say. Yeah.
No,
show us that.
No, the camera's so small.
I need the effect. IMAX yeah. for this. Yeah, so she starts walking like a man, talking like a man, and other lyrics to that song. And it helps. And so she eventually makes her way across the country. She's got money, so that helps as well.
Sure.
She buys her ticket stuff, but she gets there. Now, eventually she makes it to Fort Gibson, which is it's a pretty amazing feat. I don't, want to just gloss over it.
I can't imagine the path to, nowhere Western Oklahoma in the 1860s is paved with gold.
Yeah. This is not an easy journey for anyone, but she makes it. And she gets there and she realizes she doesn't really know what to do. Like she knows she wants to just fucking murder him.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. She has a checklist and there's one thing on it.
Right.
And it's murder William. But she doesn't know what to do now because now she is at a fort that is chock full of people who are sworn to protect William.
Right. Yeah. Pros and cons. Pro, lots of guns here. Lots of guns. I didn't have to bring a gun, thankfully. Con. Yeah, they're all pointing away from William.
Yeah. Pro, when I go in that fort, he will be locked in there with me, hard to escape. Con, I will be in prison there. It's not great for me either. So she doesn't know what to do, so she's thinking about it. She's like, well, she has another idea. She's full of good ideas. And she's like, well, the whole being a man thing is working out pretty well. I've opened a lot of doors. Crossed a lot of prairies. William's in there. I should just enlist in the army.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Just knock on the door. Introduce yourself.
Yeah. Say, I surrender or whatever you do when you join the army. I don't know. I don't really know how it's done. What did Pauly Shore do in that one movie?
Oh, I mean, you got to go to boot camp. That's the thing. That's the problem.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. That seems hard. I'm out. You know what? Nah.
Yeah. I was going to be shooting him. It's fine. We'll go.
So she enlists. She goes, she knocks on the door and says, hey, I want to join the army. And they're like, great. We are throwing people at the Indians now.
The only people between here and the horizon. So you're in. It's great.
So she joins. They welcome her aboard. Now, she does see her former fiance wandering around, of course. But they don't actually interact because he's an officer and she's an enlisted man. Right. She's a private. So there's not a lot of opportunity for her to talk to him, which is good, because she doesn't want to be found out.
Right, yeah.
Now, he probably sees her, but, she's in real good disguise. Mm-hmm. Also, he's not out there thinking, God, I hope Vivi doesn't show up. So it's not, thinking, he's going to see her anywhere. He might see and be like, what a beautiful boy, and then start getting a little, confused about his feelings. A little bit of
question, sure, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then just before she slits his throat, oh, thank God. I thought I was.
Oh, I can die happy. Oh, son of a bitch. So let's see. So where are we here? Anyway, so they're living there together for a while without all the other men. Now, this gives Vivia the opportunity to observe William without really being observed back. And so this goes on for a few months. And Vivia learns a lot about William.
How is she peeing all this time?
Just straight up in the pants.
I suppose.
She says, again, dang it.
I cannot imagine you're like the private Thomas is getting a suite you know, or like her own bathroom or anything like that. Pretty sure you're pissing the same hole in the ground that everybody else is.
Yeah, but they're probably not taking showers.
No, but that's fair. Yeah.
It's 1870, so part of this will be easier. Let's see. And these guys have never seen a woman before. They don't know anyway.
Yeah.
Your dick fell off. What's wrong?
That's so weird. Private Thomas poops 5 times a day. I can't be right. But whatever. I'm not gonna dig.
So she learns a lot about William by watching him for several months. She learns his routine. She learns where he takes his meals. Mm-hmm. She learns when he's with people and when he's bound to be alone. She also learns that he has met a Cherokee woman
Uh-oh.
Who lives near the fort.
Ruh-roh.
And that he consorts with her often. This makes Vivia very angry.
Oh, yeah.
Very angry.
Get this Pocahontas out of my Mulan.
That has got to be the most racist thing that anyone has ever said on this podcast.
It's racist, but again, find the flaw.
We had to start this episode with one of those disclaimers that Disney uses now. yeah, okay. We know it's a little racist,
this
but
podcast this was recorded at a more innocent time. Monday.
Last Monday was a real different day. So Vivi's furious. Her bloodlust is rising. One day in late December of 1869, William is sent out into Indian territory on, like a small peacekeeping mission, but like it's basically a meet and greet. It's not a big deal. He's by himself. He's riding out just to like broker some meeting between
Perfect.
Two friendly people. Mm-hmm. So he goes out alone, and now Vivia sees her chance. She grabs a rifle, mm-hmm. and she sneaks out of the fort, and she follows him. She follows him out into Indian territory, and then she knows eventually he's going to have to come back. So she stops when she sees a good hiding spot. She holds up behind an outcropping of stone, and then she waits. A few hours later, William rides back toward the fort. Vivia lifts her rifle. She takes aim. And she shoots him square in the chest.
Oh.
She's a good shot.
Goodness. Well, I mean, several months of training.
Yeah. Thirst for revenge is the best teacher, they say. So William's knocked off his horse, and Vivia says, fuck you. And she goes back to the fort and leaves him there to die.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. The next morning, William's body is discovered.
Mm-hmm.
And they all naturally assume that he's been killed by Indians.
Sure, absolutely.
His body is found in Indian territory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is the perfect murder.
Mm-hmm.
She's Scott done. Free.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah. Now she just has to defect, leave Western Oklahoma somehow.
I am an Indian now. Yeah. I think that's how that path would go for her, right? Or just like, if you like being there, just hang out, keep being a little boy soldier.
Yes. Yeah. You keep living in a fort with 150 men in Oklahoma in the 1860s.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. You know what? She should defect. Definitely. She gets away with it. Then she pulls a real Raskolnikov and starts feeling guilty.
Oh no.
How many Dostoevsky fans do you think we have who just...
We have one really excited one. Yeah, we have one really excited one.
So the guilt is overwhelming, and she just does not know what to do with herself. Vivia, she even confesses the crime to the fort's chaplain.
Ooh, tough spot right there.
Yeah, I don't know exactly the rules here for this guy. He may have been falling down in his job because... I know there's like the seal of confession,
right?
We can't share that, but there are limits
mm-hmm.
to it.
Sure.
But I think the limits are all like, if you're going to commit a crime.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. To protect other people. But like William's been dead and buried. So
there's no bringing him back.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe it's fine. Anyway, she tells the chaplain, and then she starts visiting William's grave every night.
Mm-hmm.
So he's buried with the officers in the graveyard there. She visits his grave every night and just like sobs all night long and prays for forgiveness. Now, Vivia, Such a woman. She has more guilt than sense because one night she's out there, and again, it's January. It's January 7th. It becomes bitterly cold, and she's not dressed for the weather. Mm. And it's raining, and it's like icing and snowing and stuff, and it's terrible, but she doesn't leave, and she freezes to death out there.
Oof.
And this is when she's found the next morning, lying on top of William's grave.
And the chaplain's like, now can I, now I can say so, right? Like,
listen, I have been meaning to tell you all something, yeah. And don't get mad, yeah. But that is how they, yes, that is certainly how they start piecing together the story, because the chaplain is like, oh, I should have said something.
Yeah. She said she wasn't going to kill anybody else, even me. So
I didn't know. She found a loophole, though. Yeah. It was herself. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know. Didn't think about that one. Mea culpa, everybody. Mea culpa. Let's go cut off some legs, huh?
Well, if you're the chaplain, this is the perfect crime for you. Really?
Go on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're the chaplain, you really can't stand this William guy. You sneak out. Mm-hmm. You put one in his chest.
Okay.
You come back.
Uh-huh.
You wait for the next person at the fort to die.
Oh, and then you're like,
yeah, like, hey, just so you know, you know what he told me, like, just before he died of his gunshot wound was that he killed William, not me. I mean, no one but him killed him.
Yeah, the more you explain it, the more perfect it seems.
Yeah,
yeah, it's flawless, actually. No one killed him, but he killed. But he is that what? That's did I get that right? Mm-hmm. I just want to make sure I'm taking this right for posterity.
Yes. Yep.
So the dead man William, who was shot, said that no one killed William but him. But you didn't talk to William.
Right.
You talked to the dead man, who was a woman, on William's grave.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And they killed he or she killed William.
And which one did you talk to?
That's a good question. You know, I'm gonna have to fall back on the cloak of secrecy again. I'm gonna have to
I'm just taking notes here. Did you say I'm gonna fall back on that?
Yeah, fall into it. You know, I'm pull it down. I'm actually gonna go behind. I'm gonna go behind it right now. I gotta.
You're actually bringing your veil down.
I'm behind
you
are, it now. Yep.
Where did you? Do you have a? I didn't even know you had a veil built into that robe. That's interesting. You can hear me in there. Yeah.
No.
Nope.
Nope.
No. Okay. Just wait for you to come out, I guess. Are you? He's leaving. Oh, he's gone. Okay. All right. Well, case closed.
Wow. It was the girl.
It's the girl the whole time.
Weird.
Okay. So that's true. That could have just, yeah. So I guess, yeah, if that is the case, then this whole story, this whole podcast episode has been for nothing. That's true.
Hey,
that
I learned something. That could be.
I learned how to make footstep sounds on my microphone with my fingers. Anyway, so they learn she's a woman. Obviously, they piece together the story. The chaplain comes clean and tells everyone what he heard her say to him. Now, the soldiers of Fort Gibson were actually like, "This is kind of cool," which to me made. Gives a little insight into maybe what William was like as an officer.
Okay.
Like, if all your soldiers are like, hey man, she was amazing.
Yeah.
After you learn that she murdered your officer.
I can imagine the firearm instructor was like, yeah, she was my student. She absolutely was.
Right in the chest. That's where we put the target during practice. Yeah, I did teach her how to do that.
I'm sure they're also pretty excited about not having to fight the Cherokee. As well,
because that's true.
That's,
thank God. I almost slit my own wrist, so I wouldn't have to go out there. Whew. Saved by the bell. But they all thought that she was a pretty admirable soldier. She became quote admired for her service. So I don't know what she was doing out there for those months. Like, I don't think they were really doing anything. They might just have really hated him that much.
Yeah.
But they really admired her, and they were all certainly surprised, or at least pretended really hard to be surprised that she was a woman, not a man. Several of them, I assume, sighed with great relief. They're like, Oh, thank God. That's who I've been. Okay. Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Yeah. Ooh.
All right.
I was feeling really weird there for a while.
I'll be in my bunk.
But they give her an honorable burial in the Fort Gibson National Cemetery.
Wow.
In an area there called the Circle of Honor,
mm-hmm.
which is reserved for soldiers who had distinguished themselves in service.
This is still the person whose only notable accomplishment was murdering the officer of the fort in cold blood.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, yeah, by far, her most actually impressive feat is going all the way to Oklahoma from Boston herself. Okay. For that, she should be in the Circle of Honor. For sure. I couldn't do that. And I can barely fly from Boston to Oklahoma by myself now. But she's buried there. And then here is a picture of her tombstone.
Wow. Okay.
You know, we don't have a birth date, as I said,
mm-hmm.
but that is Vivia. And if you go to that fort and that cemetery today, you will see this gravestone in the Circle of Honor. Now, you thought this was all made up, didn't you? It's a real story with a real person.
Mm-hmm.
Had real hair that got real short when she became a man. There are many who say that Vivia does not rest, despite being dead low these long years. She is sometimes seen in her cavalry uniform standing over her own grave, and sometimes she's seen lying on the grave of William, just as she was the night that she died, still unable to forgive herself for killing him down dead. She is, it will not be surprising to learn, she's not an angry ghost. She mostly just cries a lot.
Yeah, mournful ghost. Yeah, I'm getting mournful ghost here. I'm really glad she's not an angry ghost, because she sounds
like... She would be an effective angry ghost.
Really scary angry ghost.
We would all be screwed, for sure. And that is a story of Vivia Thomas, angry, sad ghost of Oklahoma.
The most honored cold-blooded murderer in Oklahoma history.
Yeah, which is saying something.
Yeah, really, there is a list.
Boy, there is a long list. And that's it. Let's see. Any questions about Vivia?
No, I all my questions about Vivia were either answered or it was made clear that there were no answers. So,
any questions about the pig spout?
No. Again, very excited to someday get to see it first.
Oh, he's coming for you. Oh, pig spout. Yeah. Oh, he loves you.
Yeah, I don't need that, but oh.
Yeah. Okay. Well, all right. Well, just tried something. Oh boy, if you want to see the pig spout, you can watch us on YouTube. We're there a lot, and it's fun. Also, by the way, if you've been thinking about joining Ghost Plus, I have a couple good newses for you. The first one is that, you know, we did that that thing in October where you could do a free 7-day trial, see if you liked it. People loved it. People really liked doing that, and then ended up liking Ghost Plus. So we're extending that, I guess, forever. So now it's always true.
Hey,
you can go do a 7-day trial of Ghost Plus, no matter what. You can go check out all our extra content. We're putting new shows up all the time. It's super fun. And one of the things that we're doing that I'm really looking forward to is on New Year's Eve. We're doing a live show via Zoom for our Ghost Plus listeners. And if you want to come join us to celebrate closing the book on this year and drinking so much that we forget the entire next year, you can join us. You can join Ghost Plus, and then you can therefore join us on Monday, December 30th, New Year's Eve. And we're going to have a special New Year's Eve themed ghost story. It's going to be a blast. You just sit, you watch us. We do our thing on Zoom. You're off in a on the side with all the other Ghost Plus folks who come and watch. You chat, you have a good time, and then after the show, we stick around and we all chat with you. We answer questions, and you can tell us how badly we did and all that stuff. It's really fun. So just one of many perks for joining Ghost Plus, which you can do again for free for 7 days, just to see if you like it. You can also buy it for your friends and family or for anyone that you don't like very much and you want to punish with us. All right, that's a lot of ads. Patrick, you want to plug anything? You never plug anything. What are you doing? What's happening?
I got nothing.
That cat looks like a bowling pin.
He is. Yeah, he's pear shaped. He's gone pear shaped.
If you took a penguin, like an emperor penguin, you sliced him down the middle, you took out his stuffing, and then you put a bowling pin inside and wrapped the bowling pin in mm-hmm. the hide. I think it's called the hide of the penguin.
It's funny because that's like exactly how taxidermy works. That's yeah, how like yeah. inside all those grizzly bears.
They're all bowling balls.
All bowling pins. bowling balls. Yeah, probably yeah. the extra ones.
Yeah, that's what your cat looks like.
Well, he's falling. There he goes. Okay, no, he's right. fine. Okay. Yeah, he's my little bowling pin cat.
All right. Well, that's probably going to do it for us for this week for Is This a Ghost, which is a production of Smith Show Media. All the notes this week were taken by me, Clayton Smith. All the funny jokes were from Patrick Dean. Our audio editor is Jeremy Montoya. Our video editor is Jen Swanson. Our social media managers are Kai Valonis and Sam Murdoch. And I would say, you know, if you're going to go take vengeance on someone, here's the lesson from this story. Take vengeance hard and have no regrets. Because if you regret it, you might end up as the next episode of Is This a Ghost?